Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Jason here. Welcome to this week's live weekly Authentic Persuasion training session. Today is Thursday the 12th. Normally I do these on Friday, but I thought I would mix it up, move it a day earlier. So here we are on Thursday the 12th. It is noon Eastern. Welcome. Excited for you to be here wherever you're tuning in. I mention this each time, but you can catch this via the webinar link if you want to find out information on registering that so you can be front and center and ask questions directly. Make sure to go to jasoncutter.com and sign up for the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training sessions there. Also, welcome if you're catching this on LinkedIn, on Facebook, or on YouTube live, or on the Authentic Persuasion Show as a replay, or anywhere else as a replay. Thanks for tuning in. Please make sure if you're here, say hello, leave a comment in there. Make sure to like this. And then also, as you're finding value, share this wherever you're watching this at. Doesn't matter. Just hit the share button so you can share it with your network. And let's get more of this out there. Why this matters to me, if this is your first time tuning in, welcome. I do these because I wrote a book that came out a couple years ago called Selling with Authentic Persuasion, Transform from Order Taker to Quota Breaker, which is essentially a compilation of the journey that I had in sales as a guy with a marine biology degree who I literally chose tagging sharks over people because to me growing up, I didn't have a great relationship with other people. And I come from a family of analytical people. My two great loving parents, one being in banking and one being in engineering, had a strong dislike and distrust for salespeople and anyone in sales. So I just went a completely different direction. And then life took me into the world of sales at 27. But from a perspective of not realizing I was in sales because I thought sales was gross and sales was dirty. And so I thought there's sales that you hear about and the used car salesperson and that gross Wolf of Wall Street boiler room. And then there's what I was doing, which was service and helping people. I didn't even realize what I was doing was technically sales, selling, and persuasion because I wasn't doing it based on manipulation and tricks and games and lies. So I just didn't even put that in the same category because sales is such a dirty word to most people. My goal with these sessions is to help you if you're in sales, no matter what you're doing, you work for a company, or maybe you're independent and selling on behalf of somebody else. Maybe you're leading a company full of salespeople and you want to help them do things different, especially important in this day because consumers are different. We are all consumers. If you're in sales, you're also a consumer. You're a customer in your daily life. And what people expect, what people want, and what people need from a company, especially from a salesperson, especially from someone they are trying to get guidance from, it's totally different than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. The internet has leveled the playing field of knowledge and information, and that's not what people need. And I cover that a lot in these sessions. And my goal in these sessions is to help empower you, enable you, and encourage you to transform and see the power of using authentic persuasion and fit that in with what you're doing in your sales process, how you can be more effective, close more deals, make more money, and do it in a way that feels good to you, feels good to your consumer, creates an amazing sales experience. Maybe it's you, maybe it's your whole team.
something that just works better and more effective and more profitable for you and for your company. And then again, leads to what the customers are wanting, which is service. They want a guide. They want help. They want to get to a better place, either out of pain or towards a goal. And they're looking for someone to be that guide. And that's what you should be doing. And authentic persuasion and the authentic persuasion pathway, which I've covered in other sessions, is the roadmap on how to get there. So that's the intro. Here's where we are. Last couple sessions have been Q&A sessions. Now, prior to that, and this is session 31, most of my sessions have been more lecture, taking parts of the book, adapting it to what I have seen and what changes and morphed it from when the book came out in 2020. The last couple sessions have been Q&A, which is super fun because in my travels as a consultant and a trainer, coach, what I see online, even if it's not directed at me, is all kinds of questions. And what's fun is doing some kind of lecture and training is good. Q&A is where it's more valuable. What does somebody want to know for them? And how can I help them in their context, in their situation, with what they're dealing with or struggling with or up against or want to be better at? And so how do I support them, right? Not just one size fits all advice, which is really tough to do, but more Q&A mode. And if anyone is familiar with Gary Vee and you see any of his keynote speeches, where he will come on and do his speech for 15, 20 minutes sometimes, and then literally open it up the rest of the way in Q&A, just so people can ask their questions, which could be helpful to others in the audience. That's what I enjoy doing as well. Like I love training, but more than anything, it's that Q&A, and it's how do you help people for them, right? One of my parts of my mission statement is to facilitate light bulb moments, that moment where someone sees something, they learn something new, they try it and it works. That's what I want to do. So last two sessions were on Q&A. This one's going to be, but it's going to be a little bit different. Last one, if you didn't check it out, session 30, make sure you can find the replays. You can find it everywhere. But the questions I answered last time was, what questions should I be asking? So it was a great question about questions. And I dove into what really matters when you're asking questions and why the question about what questions should I be asking is really not the point. And it means you're missing the fundamentals at that level. Second question was, you say it's my duty to help people, especially as their guide, but my product doesn't change lives. How do I get people to care, right? And care about making a change, making a decision. And again, keep in mind, there's one thing that you're up against. And it's the one thing all of your prospects fear. It's consistent, it's universal, it's there, and you've got to make sure that you can address that in your sales process, in your conversations. And then the third question I answered last time was, my company wants me to use their sales process, but I would rather use authentic persuasion. What should I do? And the key is to understand that using the principles and the foundation, the fundamentals of authentic persuasion is not a replacement, unless it doesn't work. If what you're doing doesn't work, please throw it away and just use this as the roadmap and build your process around it, which is some advice I give to companies all the time. Just what you're doing isn't working. So stop that old school stuff. Stop pushing the way you're doing and lecturing the way you're doing and telling is selling. And, you know, just please stop. Otherwise, it's principles to use within your conversation to just make sure you hit those pillars. So if you any of those resonate with you, if you're interested in those, make sure to check out session 30. Again, LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, Authentic Persuasion Show podcast. You can find it if you go to the jasoncutter.com site. You can find all the podcasts there on the website as well. There's a link that will take you to it. So many places you can find it. All right, this week is going to be slightly different, not just because it's on a Thursday, not a Friday, but also because I want to do some leadership focused questions. So some things that I have gotten recently that are about leadership, managers, leaders, people who are in a leadership role and the questions they have relative to authentic persuasion. So it's not just leadership in general, but it's also that intersection here. So let's go ahead and dive into these. So the first one, how do you recruit for authentic salespeople who will be effective? So how do you recruit for authentic salespeople who will be effective? The key there is a couple of things. When I get that kind of question, I really want to hone in on the two different parts is who will be effective. And there's this underlying thought I've seen so many times where to be effective in sales, you have to be an actor. You have to pretend. You have to be this. You have to, you know, use some tricks and have strategies and maybe manipulation, right? Like you have to be relentless and all of these different principles. The other thing is I see that in order to be effective, someone has to fit a certain mold, right? They have to be charismatic. They have to be an extrovert, great storyteller. Don't take no. Like there's these kind of classic sales traits of what it takes to be successful in sales that people think. And again, when you hire for that, or when you look for that, or when you think that's the only way that somebody can be successful, then you're really not looking at A, the principles of sales, like I talked about in the intro about sales being service. And sales is something really you're doing for and with somebody, not to somebody. So those strategies aren't always the best thing. And then also what it's not addressing when you only hire for that type of person or people like yourself in an organization because of what you did to be successful is you're really ignoring the diversity portion of this conversation. And I don't just mean male, female. I don't mean race, diversity. Like this is those things, but also personalities, behaviors, selling styles, conversational styles, right? Like all of these different things, because unless your customer base is all the same, right? They are so monotonous. It's literally the same. So I know if I have this kind of salesperson, I can sell to every customer because they're always the same. Other than that, which very few industries are maybe even able to make that claim. Otherwise, you want a diverse group of people who have different personalities. They have different strengths. They have different conversational styles. And then what you want to do is you want to have them interact, and they're going to resonate with different potential customers that are going to like them versus this person over here because they're just going to vibe better. And then this is where the really pro level gets in, is when you bring in technology that's now available. It's 2022. There's so many cool things that are out there where you can actually have your inbound leads or have your outbound list before they're dialed sorted and given out to the people on your team who are more likely to close people in that group, that demographic group, that type of group, whatever it is based on your attributes, where you know, like, all right, Bob is really good with this kind of person. So let's feed Bob as many of this. Karen does really well with this group and this group. So let's just serve her up the best possible conversations that they can have. And if you want any suggestions or references for these, there's a couple companies I have in mind right now that I have been testing, and it's amazing. Like the behind the scenes lift that it provides where nobody knows what's going on, but they're just being served the better pitches, right? Every time you step up to the plate, if there's one kind of pitch that you hit really well, wouldn't you like it if basically that was served up to you every time or 60% of the time? And then, you know, it's just a totally different game. So the key is take the technology and get it to the next level, which will bypass your fears of like, well, what if this person talks to them and they're not strong enough? Like that's that part. I think the other key is when we're talking about authentic salespeople, you have to have a company culture that supports people being who they are and their strengths and not needing to be everybody that does the same thing. And everyone has to like happy hours and everyone likes this event and everyone's money motivated, you know, through contests. There's different game player types out there, right? There's four different game player types. And so you want to find people who are different and then support that as a company. And so that everybody is welcome and supported and they can be successful. Obviously they've got to do their part, but that's what you're looking for. Now, how do you recruit them? This part, when we get into the technical part of this answer on the short side, is that you have to build a recruiting process that is looking for those things. A, it starts with the job description, the job post, and what you've got out there, because if you're not careful, and I learned a lot of this through Heidi Solomon from Girls Who Sell, which I'm on a board on, where she talks a lot about just the polarizing nature of a lot of sales job ads, where you read that and it's just so classic aggressive sales mode, where it's a turnoff to other people who might be really good fits in your organization, but they're worried about not fitting in there, right? So some of it is just being able to recognize that and making sure your ad is getting you who you want, who will be effective in your company culture and with your leads and your sales process, your sales cycle, long sales cycle, short sales cycle, And at the same time, you know, being inclusive, but then also being specific on who you're looking for within the right parameters, and then varying because everybody's different and you want that on your team. So that's part of it. But you want to be able to go through a process and have multiple steps in your recruiting process to really nail down. Because one of the things you want to be careful of is salespeople. Most people who want to get into sales, people who have been in sales, they're really good at sales when they want to be good at sales. The point at which everybody universally wants to be good at sales is in the interview process. That's when they are amazing. And I can say this because so many times I've been frustrated and my clients have been frustrated. I've seen it for years and years when I was running teams is somebody seems great in interviews. They say all the right things. Everything's amazing. Everything lines up. You get them in the seat and then they're just terrible. They don't have the skills. Everything they used in the interview process to get the job, they turned off or it was just an act. And literally it's a huge disappointment because they tried so hard to get the job. Once they got it, like they felt like they arrived, and it's just painful to watch and deal with until, you know, HR has to have one of those meetings with them with a bunch of paperwork and a box for their stuff. So the thing is that you want to make sure you put people through enough processes and paces to determine who they are. What are they authentically like? And again, it depends. And I do this with a lot of clients. So if you want help on this, let me know. I can give you some advice. And then if this is something you want help with the organization, I have a very good framework that I use in building recruiting process that will help find the best people for your organization. Not the best people, rock stars, you know, A players, like Hall of Famer. I mean, the best people for your organization, they are going to be effective. So that's the big thing with recruiting authentic salespeople, is all of that, understanding that. Quite a long answer, I know, but it's really important because it tackles a lot of the different parts of the authentic, right? A, in making sure they're successful, and B, how do you find them and how do you pull that out of them? All right, second question, how do I manage my reps to a process, but give them the latitude of being authentic? The heart of this question, when I get this one, is so if we have lots of structure, we have lots of processes. If I have a script they need to follow, they can't be authentic. I'm from that company's perspective, or that sales manager, or that executive kind of perspective, is all of those things, systems, processes, scripts, accountability, makes robots, and robots aren't effective and robots can't sell. And we don't want a team of robots. So let's not do any of that. Let's just hire the right people and hire people who seem like they'll be good at sales and let them do what they do best and let them go out there and make it rain, right? And that model is okay in small dosages if you're okay and you have a high tolerance for pain. Meaning, right, the turnover, you could have maybe three or four of those people on your team. And some of the pain is going to be the fluctuations where it's a good week, a good month, bad month, quarter, whatever, where you're at the whim of that person and their inconsistencies, right? Like if I play golf, I am so inconsistent. Sometimes I hit the ball straight, sometimes I don't. And I know everyone has that experience with golf, right? Like that's why there's only so many pros out there that hit really well. But I know that I have very little expectation of what's actually going to happen because I'm not putting in the effort. I'm not putting in the practice. I don't have the structure, the systems, the accountability. I am not refining it down. I'm just going up there and swinging. So sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. It's why whenever I go golfing, everyone I'm with, I always laugh. And I tell them I bring a couple dozen golf balls with me just so I don't have to spend most of the time hunting for mine. And we can just keep playing. So same thing happens in sales teams. The painful part is that the fluctuations, the up and down. And then also when you have that model, if somebody's really not working out, or if they leave and you have a small team, there's a big percentage of your team that's now gone and then you have to get a new person and ramp them up, right? You cannot use that model and scale. You can't have 10, 15, 20, 50, 100 sales reps who are all lone wolfing it without some degree of carnage, either carnage from a compliance, long lifetime value standpoint of the actual clients, right? Are they actually good customers? Were they told the right thing? Or is it consistent in any way? And so the biggest thing is that you want to have those things in there. And those things, the processes, the systems, the accountability, the scripts, those frameworks do not make somebody robotic. Let me repeat that. They do not make somebody robotic. And I talked about that in session 29 when I answered the question about scripts and how that makes, you know, how to be authentic with a script. It's the usage of those things, right? It's like anything else. The systems, the processes, the accountabilities, the scripts, the frameworks, all those are doing is putting guardrails, right? Those are guidelines and frameworks for a sales operation and what that person should do and what the rules of the game are and what the expectations are and then what the tools are on hand and how they need to be used. Then it's up to the individual to play the game. And that's how you want to build it. Imagine if we all sat down and played Monopoly together. Imagine if we all sat down to play Monopoly and there were no rules. There's one rule, have the most money at the end. And that's the only rule. Literally no other rule about who goes next, what it means and how many spaces you can move, what happens when you buy property or land on property. What if there were just literally no rules? Just get the most money. Maybe one rule. Every time you pass, go get $200. That's it. Now go. And let's all play that game and let's see how it goes, right? Or four of us play Monopoly, but we play individual Monopoly, like solitaire, and then there are no rules. Or if you've ever seen someone play solitaire with cards and they play it a different way than maybe anything else because they like a different rule because they want to win more, right? If you've ever seen that, then it's like, wait, well, you're playing by that rule. I'm playing by this rule. Like, what the heck is going on? That's what happens in sales organization. Instead, what happens? Well, four of us sit down to play Monopoly. We know the rules. If we don't know the rules, we'll reread the rules and we'll remind each other or we'll check in and make sure we're all playing by the same rules. And then the game starts and now we have the framework. And now it's up to each individual how they want to play the game. That's what you want. And then what happens is the authentic side is still coming through. No matter how scripted somebody is, they can still be authentic. They can still be themselves. They are still bringing their personality, their strengths, their traits, their own fears, their weaknesses, right? Like I talk a lot about this. I do training for companies where we talk about objections and not just the objections for the customers, the objections that your reps all have internally, the baggage they're bringing with them into your sales role. And if you want to read about that, there's a couple of things I'll mention at the end. But if you are leading a sales team, one of the best things you can do is email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and then ask for the objections ebook. In the objections ebook, it's not just about the objections overcoming that the prospects have. It's also the objections that your sales reps have and helping them overcome it. And you as a leader need to understand this because this affects them every day. All of these processes, everything is there to help someone not have to worry about all these other things. And then they can laser focus on them and the prospect, them and the prospect. Your number one job as a sales and operational leader is to remove distractions, challenges, issues, roadblocks, anything like that, that keeps your salesperson from doing their one job. They have one job. I know it sounds crazy. Close deals, right? No, they have one job. Persuade other people to move forward or disqualify them. That's it. Emails, texts, reports, filling this out, doing that, like all of that stuff is just distractions from their one mission. In this day and age, again, we're almost halfway through 2022. In this day and age, robots have taken over so many things. AI have taken over things. Machine learning has taken, just, you know, like literally being able to speak into your phone and then have dinner arrive in like 30 minutes without calling anybody, without doing anything, like literally just being able to do all that is amazing. In this day and age, we still need people to help people. Somebody who needs to help, needs a guide and moving forward, they still are looking to a human, right? There, of course, there's people who they'll order online or they want a chatbot. Or maybe SMS, but when it comes to a real decision for a considered purchase, they want help from a guide. They want to talk to your humans, and your humans should be focused on that one thing. And keep in mind, your prospects are confused, scared, messy humans, and your messy salespeople need to move them forward. So you've got to reduce all that down to let them authentically do that. And then give them things like the authentic persuasion pathway, which will help be their guide. So that's the key with the balance between systems, processes, structures, scripts, and then authenticity. Because people can be very authentic in that role, in that part, in the conversations they're having. And I say role in part because I think of my conversation about the script always refers to movies, TV shows, Broadway plays, live theater. It's all scripted, right? And that person might be playing a part, but they're also playing it the way they play it and nobody else. And so when you watch a movie, that movie is written for that person, that role, because they want to have that actor to bring who they are to the role. And yes, they're having this conversation, but it's them. And if anyone else did it, it would be weird and different. And that's what I want for you to realize with your team. All right, let's go ahead and do one more. Where is the line between persuasion and manipulation? All right, there might be one more. Let's see how quickly we can get through this. So where is the line between persuasion and manipulation? So I think this one's pretty clear on one side, maybe not the other. So persuasion or manipulation is very clear in what it says about basically you're doing something to something else and it's probably against its will. Best way to think of that is manipulation. Like one context to use it in is when somebody is working with clay and they're making a bowl, they're manipulating the clay or they're manipulating the wood into a 2x4, right? Or manipulating the metal into, you know, a sword or something. So you're manipulating it and it doesn't have a vote. It doesn't have a choice. And you're doing that to something else for your own benefit or gain or your goal. That one's super clear. Persuasion's not so clear. Persuasion, by the definition, basically says I'm trying to persuade you. And it could be positive or negative. It doesn't, it's not as clear. And that's why a lot of people like my friend, Brian Ahern, he focuses a lot on influence, where that's a different definition, different word. I gravitated toward persuasion when I wrote this. I've had other people, you know, they like transparency. So there's many different versions there. The key is, and when I wrote authentic persuasion, selling with authentic persuasion, in that section, when I got to section 2, which was about persuasion, is I titled it positive persuasion. So for me, it's not just, I'm going to persuade you because I want you to do this thing. Maybe for my benefit, but I want it to feel better for you. No, I want it to have a positive outcome. I want you to succeed at the end of this. And again, the positive persuasion might be helping you realize this is not what you need. You should go over here or maybe not buy anything, or you should go another direction. I'm not your person. You have a square peg situation. I have a round hole solution. I'm not your person. Good luck, right? And just positively persuade them, send them off the power of saying no, which is a chapter in my book. Then there's, you know, persuading them to move forward when they qualify. Once you know it's a good fit, they have something that you can help with or solve, game on. Now it's you versus their number one fear. And it's about overcoming that. And I think that's the key, is to understand that. What is the outcome? What is the benefit to both parties? And I think the big key, and this is where the subtitle Transform from Order Taker to Quota Breaker is really important, equally important. And I've had people over the years say that should have been or could have been the title instead, is that a lot of times order takers are playing a lose-win game, right? Like or a win-lose game, which is where you win and I'm going to lose. So you're going to win, but it's going to be at my detriment, right? Like maybe I'll sell you this, but I'm really going to give you a big discount because I'm more of an order taker and I'm not as confident, or I don't understand that I'm actually doing a service for you and that's something you should pay for, right? They think, again, sales is gross and dirty and they're afraid of that. And so what happens is they set up a lot of situations where the customer is winning and they're losing, right? And the salesperson is losing. And you don't want that either, right? It should be a win-win. If I'm going to help you, there should be value in return. Or if I'm going to help you go make another decision, I know that's the right thing. And then I'm going to move on with what I'm doing now. So that's the big key there. All right, let's go ahead. We got time. Let's go ahead and do the fourth one I have on the list. So this last question, how do I use authentic persuasion as a leader? How do I use authentic persuasion as a leader? And the continuation of this in parentheses is, since you say everything in life is sales. And that is so true. I could have made that a title or subtitle on the book as well, which is everything in life is sales. If you think of sales and persuasion, not manipulation, but persuasion, then in the act of selling and selling of being of service and selling of something you're doing for and with somebody versus against them, and then you're looking at it from a persuasion lens, then yes, everything in life is sales and persuasion. If you want your significant other to go to the movie that you want to go to, then that's some level of persuasion. Sometimes it's easy because they want to see it as well. If they don't, and you're effective at getting them to do it, then you've persuaded them and it's effective. If you're in a sales role, that's obvious. If you're not in a sales role, a lot of times it's persuading your coworkers to do this, or persuading someone to help, or selling your manager on your ideas, or on not firing you, or whatever that might be, right? Selling up, selling down, selling across the org chart, whatever that looks like. And again, a lot of people wouldn't use the word sales because sales has such a dirty connotation out there in the world. And so they just don't use any of it. When we talk about leadership and using authentic persuasion as a leader with your team, the key is understanding that to be effective in sales and persuasion, which I've mentioned on previous sessions, and I talk about this a lot, is to not try to be the hero, but to be the guide. A lot of leaders in organizations, this could be managers, could be director, could be supervisor, they think now with this title, they're the hero. Their job is to be the hero. They're there to save the day. And they're the one, right? To make it happen. And instead, you want to be the guide. So you have the destination, the goal for the team, for example. And so you know where you want them to go. And then you're gonna lead them. Leadership to me, and I wrote a chapter about this in the book regarding salespeople, but when you're a leader, you're pulling people with them. You have a vision, you have a mission, you have a destination, right? You're married to that vision, you're dating the strategy, which I talked about in a previous session, and you're just gonna pull people along with you. They want to go with you. Versus what's typically thought of with management is I'm going to push you. I need you to do this thing and I'm going to micromanage you, or I'm going to push you and I'm going to get you to go that direction because I need you to. Classic sales mode filled with manipulation and tricks and those kind of things is a push strategy. How do I push you across the finish line to buy? And I don't really care what happens to you. How do I push you, right? How do I bribe you? Well, this is the last day of the quarter and we're doing a discount. So if you sign up today, I'm going to give you this off, or we're going to sign you up for this, right? That's pushing someone across the line. You know, it might feel like you're dangling a carrot to try to get them to jump across the line, but really you're pushing them over the edge. And so from a leadership perspective, how can you pull people along with you? How can you get them to follow you? And then how can you be authentic, be yourself, understand that you're there as a guide, not a hero. You're there to help them. And then understand that A, everybody is different and everyone else is authentically different and they have their strengths and their weaknesses and their fears and their goals and their hopes, their aspirations. They have all of those things. And then they also have things like love languages and Enneagram types and all kinds of things we could get into as far as why and how everybody's different. And then they also have their fears and they have their own comfort zones they're in. When I talk about the authentic persuasion pathway in terms of selling, the key is also to understand that that also applies in leading, that everybody is human. Everyone has a comfort zone. And if you want your salespeople to change, which is usually the bane of a sales leader's existence, is trying to get your sales team to change and accept something new, like a new script or a new process, a new CRM. That is difficult. You need to get them to change, but you have to understand where they are and why they're resisting, why they're fighting. It's because they're afraid of change. And then you have to understand, how do I get them out of that? How do I move them forward? How do I help them understand that in the same way that you would persuade and move a potential customer over the finish line, out of their comfort zone into being a customer. It's the same thing, the same leadership principles you would do as a manager, a VP of sales, same thing a salesperson should be doing with their prospects. It's the same process. It's the same mindset, and it's mostly the same tools. And so the big thing is to understand that. It's also, like I said, to be very authentic, to be who you are. If you're not that charismatic, over-the-top, extrovert person, don't try to be that as a leader because you think that's what leaders do and should do. You be you. You be authentic and bring your strengths. Now, there are times where people need that. They want that. They need more excitement. Maybe you're just not very excitable. Maybe you're not very fun. That's me in my mode, right? It might not seem like it when I do these things, but my mode is more task and driven and let's go as a team. Let's figure this out and let's just make more dials. Let's go. Not always fun thinking of like, how do we do a game? How do I get people going? So in that case, I either push myself or find somebody else on the team. And like I've done since my first management role in 2006, I find a cruise director. I'm like, all right, you're way more fun than me. You've got lots of great ideas. You can encourage the group. Here's a budget. You take care of that. I'll take care of this other stuff. I'm more of an operations systems guy. Let's go, right? But being authentic to who you are and not trying to be something you're not. And then again, the persuasion part from a leadership role is understanding why people are stuck, understanding where you want to go, and focusing on pulling them. You're going to get more compliance when you pull people along than when you try to push them. And I had a owner of a one of my clients a couple of years ago, a company, he told me this phrase, which has resonated with me and still to this day. And I appreciate Mick for sharing this with me when he brought me on board as a consultant, was evolution, not revolution, right? And I think that plays into this really well. He said, hey, for me, as a consultant, his goal for me was evolution, not revolution. What he didn't want was a revolution on the team where everyone's revolting and they're freaking out. And then it's causing all kinds of drama. He wanted an evolution. How do you do that? How do you create an evolution out of the process or with the team or the changes that need to be made or just evolving in general as an organization to keep going, right? You're either growing or dying. There's no such thing as stability. So you have to be evolving, but not triggering a revolt or a mutiny, which I've dealt with before. How do you do that? You got to pull people along. A mission, vision, core values, the right people on the bus, and then make sure that bus is going the right direction. So hopefully that helps. Hopefully this has been a good session for any leaders out there. For motivating your team, I have another ebook. If you want access to that, email me again, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. I have one on motivating your team. So it's about helping them with things like vision boards and intrinsic motivations and how you can lead them, which will help when you're doing this from an authentic persuasion leadership stance where you're pulling them along because you're not pushing them towards their goals. You're setting that with them. And then you also need to do what you need to do with the organization. So email me if you'd like a copy of that. If you want to check out the other things, especially the newest books, if you're a leader, make sure to check out the Reasons Not to Focus on the Sales Experience book. My co-author, Nick, and I have been setting up workshops. He did one for a mortgage company where they basically brought him in and with 60 copies and facilitated a workshop for everybody. And that looked like that was a great event. But if you're running an organization and you want to build a world-class sales experience with what you've got, and again, this isn't just me telling you should do that, or you think, oh, that's a great idea. This is critical and imperative right now in this economy. And I don't mean economy like inflation and all that. I mean, with consumers and what they want, the experience. I'm not talking like it always has to be the Disneyland level of experience where it's so memorable and life-changing. Just if they have company A, which is bland, terrible, and/or pushy and gross, and they have company B, which makes them feel good about signing up or being a customer or buying from you, people have a choice. People will not tolerate crappy stuff anymore. They'll look it up online. If the general vibe is crappy, they're not going to go with your company. If they get that sense, it's not going to work. So if you want to be successful in this era of what people are looking for as a customer, you have to build an amazing sales experience. It's the only option you have. A scalable sales operation that produces an amazing world-class sales experience. It's your only option if you want to succeed in this world. So if you want more information about that book, or if you'd like a free copy, feel free to email me again, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Happy to send you a copy of that. And then we can talk about where that fits in with your organization. But that's it for session 31 of the Authentic Persuasion Weekly Live Training Sessions. Thanks everyone for tuning in on this Thursday instead of the Friday edition. I will see you all next Friday, but that's it from me. Hope you have a great day and I will catch you next week.
That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion weekly live training session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar, and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.